Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Rub for McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Absolutely magnificent day at the mighty MCG. Heading to a top of 17. The sun is shining. Collingwood taking on the Crows. The Crows are going to need to win here to take out the big dance. The Pies need a win to keep their finals seasoned and hopes alive. And guests, we got guests coming your way. Jack Zeeble, what a win for the Kangaroos yesterday. Don Pike, the coach of the Adelaide Crows. Scott Selwood, another big win for the Cats. Roosie story time. We're going back to 05 when Roosie's team were called ugly by Andrew Demetrio. Still rankles with him. A lot to get through. Mark Howe with you, Paul Roos, Wayne Carey, Jay-Z Clark, and also for the next 45 minutes, I was told, Scott Pendlebury, Jay-Z, he's your man on your podcast. He's a captain. He's a leader. He's meant to be here. What's going on?
Just much like yourself. He's stuck in traffic, fair to say. Howie, there's a fun run happening at the moment. Chaos out it there is. In the streets. So we'll give him a few minutes. He'll
storm,
be here.
But storm are playing over the road too today.
They are.
Yep. You found it difficult making your way from the coast.
I did. Sort of there was traffic all over the shop this morning.
A bit late. You sort of got here 5 minutes ago.
I've had a busy morning just quietly. I've been doing all sorts of things this morning, but we're looking forward to having Scotty Pendlebury on. Talking about not being in attendance, tuned into Saturday yesterday, the Saturday Rub. It's always a great show. You got JB there, you got Brownie there, you got Brian there, you got Duck there. And was your microphone not plugged in yesterday, Duck, or I didn't hear you?
Not plugged in. One of the toughest months of the year to play footy, to be involved in the media, to coach. July, it's nearly over. Have a look at this weather, this Melbourne weather. Even yesterday, although a little bit windy, just a great time of the year, Howie, coming into August. You can sniff, you can smell the finals.
You're not Costello just trying to avoid the question. Were you in Tassie yesterday
what
or not?
What I'm saying is the fact that I had yesterday off. I'm up and about.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. That's nice. You would have had to coach players that were like this, Roosie, that occasionally went missing?
Yeah. A lot of Fitzroy, when I was playing, a lot of them went missing.
Right. Yeah. Was there anyone who...
We had a lot of big game players at Fitzroy. We just didn't have any big games to play in.
Was there anyone who genuinely didn't want to travel? Or you'd say, maybe you just stay. Just Gary Ablett at the Gold Coast?
Oh, Plugger wasn't massive about travelling. I remember going when we went to Perth. Yeah, we'd all go a day or 2 days early. He'd jump on the plane on the day of the game.
Really?
With his little blue bag that he'd had since about 1980, mid-80s or something like that. Jump off, go to the ground, kick six, jump back on the plane, go home again. So, yeah, he wasn't a massive traveller plugger.
How's your morning, Roosie?
Good morning. Quiet morning. Went for a bit of a run today, bit of a fartlek down through Elsterwick Park, up Brighton Road, sort of four-minute type setup, two-minute on, one-minute off sort of setup.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good, actually.
I asked you that question because it brings up my morning. Can you ask me about my morning?
Yeah, how was your morning?
My morning, as Scotty Pendlebury wanders in after waking his way through the traffic, sometimes you just have great mornings. For my humble little podcast, The Howie Games, which is back out now, I spent an hour and a half with Bruce McAvaney this morning talking about what makes him tick and what it's like to be an elite commentator and the pressure of performing. Had a 15-minute break and then whipped into Triple M and spent the next hour and a half with Luke Longley, the first Australian to play.
How big is Luke Longley?
7 foot
he
two.
Is one of the biggest men 142 I've ever
kicks.
Seen in my
could
life.
Quite possibly be the biggest name dropper well, I have ever met.
Mate, we don't want to discuss what you did this morning. I'm just telling you what
I
did.
The man that's now sitting next to you, obviously the great Scott Pendlebury. Mm. Welcome, Scott.
Hello, Scotty. Nice to see you here. A couple of minutes late, but very nice to have you here. How are you tracking?
Not too bad. I've been better, but fingers on the men
slowly.
Well,
we'll get to that. We're talking about me at the moment. No, I'm only joking.
Luke Longley is a big unit, isn't he?
The first Australian to play in the NBA. You're a man that loves your basketball.
He hasn't stayed in great shape, has he, since he's retired?
He's huge. He's going okay. But he's dropping stories on me about what it's like when you're going out with Dennis Rodman and he's in a dress and what it's like to play on Michael Jordan. Mm. Extraordinary. Anyway, this is about you, not me. Welcome. How's the finger, mate?
It's actually quite an annoying little injury. I had surgery on it again. The second one, so I've got wires in it now that poke out the top of my finger.
What happened the first time?
So they went in, the x-ray showed two clean breaks. They went in and the surgeon just said like the bone was sort of shattered, so we had to piece like 15 bits back together and we didn't get it right. A screw that went through the bone broke that bone, so
so how did
didn't
you do
go
it,
well. Really innocuous. I went to tackle and I hit Adam Sard on the chest with a straight finger and it just went bang. I thought I dislocated it, tried to pull it back in. Heard a crack.
Those listeners, though, Howie, the Seinfeld followers, there was an episode with Georgie Costanza when he was driving through Brooklyn to the city.
It was.
And he thought someone had flipped him off. So he followed him all the way to a petrol station and went up to the guy's window and realised the guy had a broken finger. And it reminds me of Pendles. So I don't know how many people have pulled you over and abused you with that finger.
I was walking to get a coffee and someone in Port Melbourne was coming the other way. And I just hold it at the moment like I'm giving you the finger. And he said to me, he goes, is everything all right, mate? And I said, oh, like, sorry about my hand. It just looks that way.
So incredibly painful, right. The hand injuries as well.
It has been. I do a bit of work with Jay-Z here, and I complain every Wednesday when I work with him. So it's only just settled down now.
Tell you what, it'll be a tricky one when you come back too. We've all had dislocated fingers if you've played footy, but I had a thumb. Had a thumb operation, and when you come back, they are, well, clearly it's the most important part of the game, and that is to control the footy, and that will be sore for a while.
And I think the difficulty with that one too, because it's the bigger one. I did the little finger, but I was able to strap it to that one, and because it's a lot lower, but yours is poking out the top.
Yeah, when we were playing, we tried to strap it just by itself. I went on, tried to tackle straight away. It just didn't function. So, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. Hopefully I can get back for the last game of the year, and we'll see how I go.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to have you for the next 45 minutes, which is fantastic. We're going to speak all things Collingwood and yourself at about 1:30. You're going to play the role in the next half an hour as a panellist, which we're really looking forward to. But before we get into it, Progression Fitness down in Richmond at your gym is doing wonderfully well. People can go down there and get a membership. But our man Jay-Z declared 3 weeks ago, within a month, he was going to be the fittest man in Australia. He's going to take off Duck, I think, next weekend and ab off. He comes from the session saying he's pretty much training at the same level you are. How would you rate his current performance?
I heard he was late the other day. He's not the most punctual bloke going around, but he has been attending classes. And he has, we do a podcast together. And
Jock and the Journo, very good podcast.
The turning point was when the gut was hanging out between the buttons.
But is this, Pendles, is this make or break for your business, though? Because if he doesn't beat Duck, the door's shut on the business, or is it all over for you?
Well, it's funny, every time we talk about it, he always sends me a photo that he's got of himself when he used to box.
Oh, we've seen it.
That's the backup. If all else fails, he used to box.
Back when he was 20. Yeah. Hey, by the way, just a little fashion tip. If you are carrying a little bit, maybe not the puffer vest. Probably not the ideal one.
The puffy jacket.
Well, if you've already got a little bit there, the puffer vest sort of makes it like you've got a lot more there.
That's a good point you make. As I said, it's going to be great to have Scotty here for the next 45 minutes. We wish you a player, mate, but wonderful to have you here on the Sunday Rub. All right, Jay-Z, let's get into it. I guess the main story floating around at the moment revolves around the Brownlow medalist, Paddy Dangerfield. Describe the incident he was involved in. There's been a bit of discussion about it since.
Yeah, he tackled Matthew Cruiser to the ground by pinning his arms and the side, and then more than anything else, just sort of angling him head first into the turf. So there was no real force behind it, no double movement, no sling, etc., no spear tackling. It was just sort of an angling and a lean. Now, for my view, you are responsible if that player hits his head, as Cruiser did, and is then concussed. Now, my view here is that Patrick Dangerfield, as much as I hate to say it, should be suspended. Careless contact, high contact and medium impact. So that's two down or one. Now, what I think will really happen is that the MRP will wriggle out of this because of who he is, the superstar factor, the fact that I don't want to cost him a Brownlow, really? And that they'll find a technicality on the excessive force. So the issue is that if there's not excessive force, then they can sort of get him off that. But because it's all based on the medical report, and Matthew Cruiser did miss the rest of the game, he should go for that. You know, it should be two down to one. So Patrick Dangerfield should be in trouble, but I think you'll find that Monday afternoon he'll get off.
He spoke this morning on Channel 7's Game Day.
I actually thought he still had the ball, so that's why I've turned around and put my hands in the air. I haven't been cited for anything. I felt it was a fair tackle. There was no umpire's call at the time, so I don't see an issue with it, but it's not up to me.
If it was anyone else, Jay-Z, I totally agree with you, they get a week. Now, my Twitter has gone berserk this morning, and I'm not on Twitter a lot, but it has gone silly, because I've had a theory, and I've had a theory for a long time, and it goes back to even when I was playing, Roosie. If you're one of the favourites for the Brownlow medal, the simple facts are, for these line ball decisions, you get off.
Yeah, benefit of the doubt.
Paddy Dangerfield will get off because of that. If that was anyone else, if that was Robertson from Brisbane or a lesser player at a footy club, 100% would get a week because of the outcome. Now, they say it's not the outcome, it's the action. It's a load of rubbish. We know that it's the outcome that gets you a week or not. Cruiser doesn't come back on the ground. That, like I said, that is a week every day of the week, but he won't get one.
Chris Scott, the coach of the Geelong Cats, was asked about this after the game, and he disagreed with you, Duck.
I haven't watched it in great detail, and I am aware that the football world will take my comments with a grain of salt. But for what it's worth, what I saw was him make a tackle. He was unaware whether the ball had spilled out, so tried to take the player to ground and roll him in the tackle to avoid the in-the-back free kick, which is exactly the way we coach it. Wasn't a sling, that's for sure. Don't think he deliberately drove him into the ground. So on that basis and based on what we've seen the last couple of years, I would expect that that would be fine.
I love Chris Scott, but he's exactly right. He's the coach of Geelong and his best player's done that. So you know what? I will take it with a grain of salt.
And Duck, he didn't see it very closely, but it was a pretty detailed assessment of the tackle for someone that didn't actually see it.
Okay. So, which coach has ever seen an incident closely post game, Roosie?
I would say this: the only Jay-Z, what you're saying is right. If he gets charged with rough conduct, he has to get a week. It's clear cut
because of the medical
And despite what Scotty says, it is outcome based. So the only way that he's eligible for the Brownlow is if they don't deem it as rough conduct. Then he gets off. So that's the key to me. If they deem it as rough conduct, there's no wiggle room because Cruiser doesn't come back on the ground.
I do want to say, though, Roosie, I don't want him to get a week. I don't want him to miss, potentially another Brownlow medal because of an incident like that. But given precedence and given what other people have been given over the last 2 years, given what Zorko did last week with a little tummy tap and he got a week.
Yep.
Given all of that, got to be in trouble. Don't want him to get a week. Don't think he'll get a week. If it was anyone else, they would get
a week.
But
the medical report gives you no wiggle room.
Yep.
No wiggle room whatsoever. The only wiggle room is if they deem it
intentional,
not rough conduct.
Or rough conduct.
Not rough conduct. Sorry. So they say, no, that's a legitimate tackle. That is not rough conduct. Because as soon as they deem it rough conduct and go to the force, he's in massive trouble.
And if he does get a week, Geelong would absolutely appeal this. Yeah. Make no mistake about that. But so what was his conduct? Well, he pinned his arms. Cruiser didn't have the ball. The tackle lingered, 3-4 seconds, and then head first into the ground. So he's responsible in my view.
Scotty, you're a current player, so we're not going to put you in the position to have to comment on this, mate, because you'll be everywhere tomorrow. Pendlebury says this, but just explain to us how quickly it happens on the ground. Like, I sit here and we watch it, and we show 24 frames a second. How quickly does an incident like that happen on a ground? And when you're halfway through a tackle like that, do you have time to actually think, oh, I need to do something to get myself out of the situation here?
Well, I think Dangerfield said today that he thought Cruiser still had the ball. And I don't even think Cruiser got a free kick.
No. They didn't.
No. So you can see how quick that happens. The umpire doesn't even pay a free kick, and we're talking about something that potentially a player is going to get reported for. So it all happens so fast. Clearly Dangerfield felt he had the ball, trying to get a hold of the ball, takes him to ground. It's going to be an interesting one, that's going to be spoken about a lot for the week.
The other thing to take into account is he's got a perfect record, this guy.
I don't think it's not malicious
at
all.
No. And I'm not saying it is. Once again, I want to reiterate that I'm just saying if it was another player other than a Brownlow medalist, I just think it does get looked upon differently. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we still talk about the Chris Grant one, don't we? When he was suspended.
What about Corey McKernan missed a Brownlow medal for something really minor?
Well, I was coaching Sydney, and you remember it all started with Shane Mumford. Shane Mumford's tackle on Gary Ablett Jr. Down at Cadinia Park. And Pendles, Mummy made a tackle, went to ground, no free kick, ball kept on going. Gazza got up, kept on playing. I don't think even went off with concussion. I think Mummy got 2 weeks for that tackle, and we were absolutely just... But that was the start of the sling tackle, the dangerous tackle, et cetera, et cetera.
Roosie, Duck's talking about rules for some, rules for others. You were coaching Barry Hall leading into that grand final when he had to appear before the tribunal, and even he said later on, any other game of the year, he was getting suspended.
Yeah, what he did, he got off on I'm not going to call it a technicality, but the rule, we were able to prove that it was actually in play, and I think from memory, Jay-Z, he got suspended for hitting behind play. Because it was the ball was coming towards him on a lead,
Maguire,
we were actually able to argue that it was in play. So that's why
he was on the ground at the time.
But that was an anomaly in the rule. Then I think they changed the rule after that. But the rule was, I mean, clearly hit him, as he said, but the rule stated that he was, well, we were able to argue that he actually was in play, not behind play.
We're very, very lucky to have in the box at the moment Scotty Pendlebury. For the next half an hour, we'll talk Collingwood in about 15 minutes. But firstly, Nearmap aerial imagery around the grounds. Jay-Z, massive game of footy under the roof.
Yeah, and it's the Bombers off to a very hot start, up by 19 points. Can you believe it? 14 minutes are left in the first quarter. So, well, the Bulldogs have just kicked the goal then to register first of the quarter, but the Bombers with the fast start there at Etihad, Howie.
And then first world problems in the ad break. Scotty just discussing his council issues when he's trying to put on the 23rd bedroom in the new house, and it's just being held up at the moment. Scotty, is it?
It is. It's a small hold up, and surely the council will let me get underway soon.
Well, surely with the size of the Roozy pad that's been built out there, I wouldn't have thought you'd have too many problems. Hey, good win by the Kangaroos yesterday over the top of Melbourne, continuing that streak, Jay-Z. Kangaroos by 4 points. Great to speak to the captain of the North Melbourne Footy Club on the line this morning, Jack Zeeble. G'day, Jack.
How are you, lads?
Great to speak to you. Great win for the footy club in tough conditions down there on a breezy Hobart. Really close finish. Good win. Congratulations to you and the boys.
No, it's nice to get back on the winners list. Obviously, haven't played our best footy in the past 7 weeks. I think we lost seven in a row, which wasn't great. But always nice to get back on the winners list. And we like to get down to Hobart as well, even though the conditions were a little bit trying, a little bit windy. I think the boys played it pretty well, and we're pleased to get the win.
Yeah, Jack, tell us a bit about the conditions. What's the game? And it was very similar, I guess, to the game we played you when I was coaching last year. But last year was a high-scoring game. I think it was 9-1, and then we got in front. But yesterday was a bit more condensed. Tell us a bit about the conditions and how you guys generally try to adjust when it's pretty breezy most of the time you play down there, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably wasn't too dissimilar to last time. Last year we played Melbourne, obviously, Roozy, where were the conditions? And it was a strong breeze going down to one end, and obviously that was a scoring end, and you sort of have to maximise the scoring at that end when you've got the opportunities and try and hold up as best you can in defence whilst going into the wind. But I think with the ground, we've obviously played there a fair bit in those conditions, and the wind's probably 50-60 k an hour, and going into the wind's obviously quite tough, and I think you need to sort of adjust the play a little bit and use your hands and use running the ball a little bit more, because obviously it's quite difficult to kick the ball into the wind. And I think we did that well in the last quarter. In the second quarter, we didn't do it too well, and I thought Melbourne were probably on top in the first half. So it was good to see the guys adjust in the second half, and I think we're only up by a goal at three-quarter time with a big breeze in the last quarter, and it was really pleasing to see the guys execute what we'd planned and get the job done late.
Yeah, it just seemed yesterday as opposed to last year, both teams had a little bit more trouble getting it onto the fat side, getting it into open space. It became a much more condensed game yesterday, didn't it? You guys were fantastic in the last quarter, particularly around the contest, winning contested possession.
Yeah, I think that's the way that the game's played, especially when it's windy. There's a lot of stoppages, and when you have the wind, you're trying to open the space up and try and use the open side of the ground. But on the opposition side, when you're going against them, you're trying to clog up the contest and try and keep the ball as close to that sort of dead side as possible and as many stoppages as possible to sort of try and run that clock down. So it was a fairly tough game, fairly contested, and we're pleased to get the win, obviously, and get our hands dirty and get the job done around the clearances, and that gave our forwards an opportunity.
Jack, well done, mate. Well done on the win. All the rubbish talk during the week about tanking and everything else, and I guess you were part of that discussion because you had the week off. Clearly the week off did you a world of good.
Yeah, it did. Probably not dissimilar to a few blokes around the footy league that you probably play not 100% fit every week. And last week, our coach gave me a rest, and it was probably, looking back on it, was probably the smart move where I was with my body, and felt really good on the weekend. And I think obviously all that talk around tanking and stuff, I think that coach hit it on the head with our actions speak louder than words, and those arguments and claims that people make around your footy club. We just needed to go out and just prove that what we stand for and that we're out to win every game we play, and that hasn't changed from the history of our footy club and probably never will change either, I think.
Hey, tell us a little bit about Big Ben Brown. I haven't heard him speak too often. He's right now leading the Coleman medalist. The Kangaroos might have a Coleman medalist this year, Roos. It's quite unbelievable. He's getting better and better, this guy. When he meets the ball at its highest point, he is almost unstoppable.
He's a big dude, Brownie. He's 200 centimetres, and when he jumps and puts his hands up, he's very, very hard to stop. And he's probably one of the best forwards at coming up with the ball, the way he attacks his footy. And if there's someone in front of him, he generally tends to jump on top or jump over the top of them. And whether it's a pack or one player, I think he's probably one of the best hit-up forwards in the competition. So we're quite lucky to have Brownie at the minute on our side. And he's doing a great job. So he kicked four again yesterday, and as you said, leading the Coleman medals up there. Yeah. Effort for a guy, I think he was 22, 23 years old, so he's got a bright future.
Can you tell us about his work ethic, Zeebs? Because I noticed in the last two games, he's actually run. He's covered the most ground for the Roos. I think it was 16 Ks in the last two matches. I mean, that's sort of midfield numbers. How hard does he work?
He does, Big Brownie. He doesn't come off the ground too much. So he spends probably one of our few guys who spend 100% of the time on the ground most weeks. And as a full forward, obviously getting up to help defend, it's not like the old days where the full forward just sit in the goal square and sort of get the ball on their heads every inside 50. It's Brownie's and all full forwards around the league these days are required to defend. So he gets high up the ground and gets a lot of his ball actually on the lead. So he likes to reset back and sort of hit up again, and so that means he's on the move a whole lot. So he does work extremely hard, and that makes it really hard for him to be matched up on against a key defender who probably has to go with him every step of the way. And at the end of the day, when you're on 16Ks as a key defender, I think you'll find that he's had a hard day.
My word, we're speaking to North Melbourne captain Jack Zeebel on the Sunday Rub.
And just to follow up Duck's point, did you guys mention the tanking thing within the footy club? Did Scotty say anything about that, or yourself as captain?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it needs to be said, to tell the truth. I mean, our list and players and coaching staff and everyone involved at our footy club has got a clear path on where we want to go as a footy club and how we're going to get there. And the last 5-6 weeks and the last month from now is a vitally important step to what we want to build towards as a footy club. And we're going to try and set the standards. And you know, it's about trying to develop that winning culture as well. From when we've got a lot of young guys in our list at the minute, a lot of young guys playing senior football, you want to get them to experience as many wins as possible. And that doesn't need to be said, I don't think, when you're in the elite environment and you put all your time and effort into winning games of football, the reward for effort is evident. And it was just really pleasing to get that on the weekend for the boys who have toiled away really hard probably for the last couple of months without any reward for effort. So it was really pleasing to see.
Now, Zeebs, can you tell us a bit about Ben Cunnington? He doesn't get much, I suppose, media attention at all, but as an opposition midfielder, I look at him and I think he's one of the best inside mids going around. And he was very good yesterday again late.
He was Cunners. Obviously, he's a pretty quiet guy. He doesn't like the spotlight too much. And I think he enjoys the profile of North Melbourne and being able to slide under a little bit. But as you said, Pendle, he's obviously an elite inside midfielder. And I think he's leading the competition in clearances, or he's in the top five anyway. And we look to him inside the contest to get us going. And most weeks, he's the guy who's getting his hands dirty and getting into the outside for our guys to use. So he's probably a very underrated player. And I think his last 12 months, coming off last year, has been probably his best, and I'd assume he'd be probably clearly winning our best and fairest if he did it. And it's a credit to him because he's been toiling away for a number of years to get his consistency to where it is now, and he's an exciting player for us.
Just off footy, mate, I saw you at the Waikoloa Outlets in Hawaii. Oh. You're a snappy dresser. I was a little bit concerned. You're out there sort of wandering around, or you sort of polo Ralph Lauren, Tommy Hilfiger. What was the sort of setup that day?
Well, I was actually tagging my missus around the shopping centre.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. I did sense that a little bit. The mood wasn't that, you weren't that bubbly that day.
I would have much rather been on the beach, Rudy, but you know, when you're on a holiday with the cheese, you got to keep her happy.
Hey, Jack, we appreciate your time. Congratulations to you on the Kangaroos yesterday.
Thanks, boys.
Nice to speak to Jack Zeebel from the North Melbourne Footy Club. Roosie, 356 games as a coach, player, etc. And you go with the what are you wearing question.
Is there anything worse than being dragged around the shops?
It's not fun.
When you really don't want to be there.
It's, you know, it's funny, Duck, because my
You sit down outside the
change rooms.
It's not too bad in Hawaii.
I tell you, it's funny. There's a big Victoria's Secret. Have you been to Waikiki? There's a big Victoria's Secret store. Massive store. And I saw Luke Parker, Dan Hannabury, sitting down the bottom of the escalator in the store. And I'm standing there going, oh, I don't want to be here either, boys. And we were chatting. It's very, very funny it was, because you just didn't want to go up the escalator.
It is funny when you do go into those department stores and you see the blokes. You do make conversation. You just look at them and go, you don't want to be here either. All right. So,
tell you what,
funny.
They don't want to be there this morning is the Saints, Jay-Z.
Yep.
They lead by a couple of goals with a minute and change on the clock. Somehow they contrive to lose the game. The point, Port Adelaide supporters were leaving the ground, one thing you should never do, across the footbridge when they heard that their team had won.
Extraordinary. Aaron Young kicks a very good goal, goes back to the middle of the ground, and that stoppage. So we'll ask Scott about that at the moment. But you would have thought Seb Ross, Luke Dunstan, who's were in that area, Jack Billings as well, would be waking up this morning pretty filthy, because Robbie Gray got a great tap from Paddy Ryder, went out the back and kicked that goal, Scotty. Now, when teams review that sort of stoppage, you know, what will St Kilda be thinking about that?
They'll go back to the centre bounce even further before Young's goal. They were up by 10 points with 2 minutes to go how are our setups from here? At the centre bounce, it looked really good. They had only a two-man forward line, clearly conceding scoring, but they're not going to score. And then it went into a bit of transition and they lost all structure. It went into a forward line that was one-on-one again. So the guys that went behind the ball, obviously, have been sucked up to the footy out the back goal. And then the Robbie Gray goal, almost sitting at home on the couch watching it, you thought, this is going to happen here, Robbie Gray. Yep. He had a clean run at the stoppage, and he's one of the best stoppage players of the game in the last 10 years.
What did they do wrong?
There was no body pressure on him at all. You know, so that was the first mistake.
And that was Zeb Ross.
Zeb Ross, who was playing on at the time, there was no body pressure on Robbie Gray at all. Then to get through with the ball and then actually exit the stoppage, run and kick a goal himself, there was no protection on the outer layer. So they'd be looking at all these things. They'll see that stoppage at least 20 times.
Really?
This is how it went down yesterday.
So the throw-in now, Ryder in front, Robbie over the back of Robbie Gray. That's one of the cleverest taps I've ever seen. Robbie Gray, goalward. Has he kicked it? He's kicked it.
It's
he's
on kicked the line. The Port Adelaide has won.
They're in front. Port Adelaide are back in front.
You never can pick the Adelaide commentating crew, can you? Just quietly listening to that. Port Adelaide are back in front, Roosie. You had a look at it as well.
Look, it's funny. You very rarely see a goal like that now, Pendles, at any stoppage because it's very, very difficult.
Congested.
It's so congested.
Way more congested.
The wing's normally sitting out. I'm just talking, and I agree with you about, I think Billings looked like he was their cover man. He got there late. But it's interesting. You very rarely see that goal at any stoppage now because most times you have got a wing as your defensive, sorry, your corridor cover, another wing as a defensive cover. So it's extraordinary. We've been there. I mean, you would have been there as a player. I've been there as a coach. So it's not a criticism of St Kilda. But, yeah, they'll look at that. And they, as soon as that goal happened, those players would have known straight away.
Yep.
I wish I could take that stoppage back. I wish, even if they'd have given a free kick, Duck, if they'd have held him, what was it, 20 seconds ago, held him, umpire blows the whistle, calls back, 2019, 18, 17. By the time he kicks it, you've got more of a chance anyway.
Without having seen it, but listening to that commentary there, Ryder must have been
a good amazing
catcher.
Yeah.
He's having a great year, Ryder, and I reckon Grundy's had a good year. It's one of those years, I reckon there's four or five ruckmen that haven't been absolutely brilliant.
Cruz has been good.
Australia Cruz has been good.
Yeah.
Obviously, missed some of the game yesterday, but going to be close this year, the All-Australian ruckman.
Who have you got, Scotty?
I've got a favourite. Big boy McAvoy's mine.
Yeah, he's been
he's real good.
He's been good. He was good. Geez, he was good the other night.
How have you rated Brody's year? Because we haven't seen him as close. He's been good. The game's
Brody's barely been beaten. I think the day we played Port was probably the game where Brody was the first time all year, I reckon, he's gone 50-50 with another ruckman. But McAvoy is like another midfielder once the ball hits the deck.
So there's McAvoy, Ryder, Grundy, Big Jacobs, and Cruiser. I reckon they're the ones that are in the running for All-Australian. And I tell you what, it's very close.
Yeah,
it's probably going to be one of the toughest decisions the All-Australian selectors have to make this year.
Scotty, a lot to talk to you about, but for mine, my favourite moment in the history of Triple M football, the Chew Man, as we all know, Jay-Z does a magnificent job with the stats. We sent him down, we were short staffed one day, to interview Scott. So it was the first time he'd ever done a live radio interview on air. He'd rehearsed his questions, he got down there, he was a bit nervous about it, and this is how he started off.
Thanks, Gary. I got one of their prime movers, actually. I got Scott Pendlebury in the rooms with me. Scott, congratulations firstly on your game today with 34 touches.
No, he's opened up with Scott.
I've had my moments where my name's been read out wrong, so it's not the first time.
My favourite moment in Triple M footy.
Little Chew Man.
Yeah, he was that flat about it. Hey, mate, there's so much pressure on the modern football, and I've asked a few players this year, especially at Collingwood, you know, after a loss, you come into training, the camera's there, etc. Is footy still fun?
It has its moments where it's not certainly fun, and you know, but for all it takes, and you know, for me at the moment, being injured, you miss it so much. You know, sitting out last week really hurts, and you know, as players, when that gets taken away from you, you realise how good it is. And I still love the game, love coming to the club, and you know, it's hard times at the moment, but you're always looking on the horizon and at the opportunity that lies there.
I was saying just before you came on today, Scotty, that the month of July is the toughest month as a footballer to get through, isn't it? You know, I know you're injured, but you know, when you actually are playing, just to get through that, whether you're playing finals or not, it's just a real grind.
Yeah, I think that's when everything starts to mound up on the body, all the injuries, the cold mornings, all that sort of stuff. Yep. And I know in the past, though, as a player, it's actually a month that I've really enjoyed. You know, finals on the horizon. It comes down to the crunch. And as you're saying, you know, other players struggle, and that mindset of, you know, we can really thrive here instead of survive. And Yeah, but it's at the moment. We've had a pretty good winter, so we've been fortunate down here.
Pendles, it's interesting. Transitioning back in the media, I did it for 3 years, went back to coaching. But I suppose when you're coaching, you get a bit frustrated with a lot of the media noise. What's the most frustrating thing, or what's the thing you think gets most misrepresented about either your club or the game itself, or the thing that maybe frustrates you the most?
I suppose what frustrates me the most is every week, win or loss, there's cameras just sitting in our car park waiting for us to come in. And, you know, we can't escape that. There's no way for players to get out of that at our football club because we don't have a setup where we can sort of park out the back and you sneak in or whatever. So the fact that every week you feel like you're hiding something, or they've got you after a loss, and, you know, they wait for you, the moment you put your head down to say something about it. So if I could change one thing about our club and the media, it's just that constant sort of door stopping.
What about we sit here, and this is why I guess sometimes we get it wrong, because we're not in the four walls. We don't know exactly what Bucks is saying to you guys. What do you say that when, you know, we sit here and we watch Collingwood play week after week, and we say we just can't work out what their plan is, how they're trying to set up? You know, it's not an obvious style to us on the outside. It's clearly obvious to you guys what you're trying to achieve. Bucks, we also hear that Bucks's plan, game plan, is very difficult to understand, and he's tried to simplify it for the players. Would that be fair to say? Has that been a conversation over the last year or so, that it is quite complex, and he has now simplified it for you players?
I think the game plan all coaches have is complex, and the message that has to come back to the players is simplified. And this year we have a very simple game plan. And
so it has changed?
I think every year we've tinkered with it. And I know from last season to this year, there are a few changes to simplify the message, eliminate any type of confusion. And that's week to week, though, you've got to change your plan slightly for opposition. You know, playing Adelaide here today, you know, we've had a look at Hawthorn Vision throughout the week and how they set up behind the football and things that we can take out. So there might be some adjustments we make today with how we play Adelaide. So every week it's going to be a little bit different. But I think the thing this year, if you watch Collingwood, the common theme is our skills. And, you know, missing kicks that uncontested, no pressure on you, missing kicks. And, you know, the at training guys hit these kicks. So, and then you get out here and they're missing them. And I think every week, even last week, the first three goals West Coast kicked were off our unpressured turnovers back straight to them. So it's certainly not something that the coach can sort of do to fix. You know, the kicks are on, we're just missing them without, you know, 20-metre kicks. So, I think this year our game plan and the way we've played has been fairly consistent. It's just bringing a skill level up from right from the start of games.
But it'd also be fair to say that, you know, some players have a really good footy IQ. Like, for instance, yourself, Bucks would say something to you once, bang, you get it, you know exactly what you're doing. Other players, not so. Do you think Collingwood are a team that has good footy smarts, good footy IQ on the ground?
I think it comes back, as you're talking about, your plan, your game plan. So, you know, there's sides out there that have really simple messages that play the same way every week. And it's just consistent. And over time, repetition builds that consistency. So, I think our footy IQ as a side's improving. I don't think we'd be the top side in the competition like a Hawthorn for IQ. And it's something that we're trying to develop with quite a young list.
You said senior coaching aspirations, Scott. You want to be a senior coach when you're involved in the coaching program when your playing career finishes. So now that you're injured, have you got a greater involvement in the coaching program at the moment?
Yeah, so for the last 2 weeks since I've been injured, I've sat in all the coaches' meeting, lines' meetings. Down the track, it's something I want to, you know, potentially look into is coaching. And sitting in the box last week for the first time sort of in 4 or 5 years is quite interesting.
Just tell Bucks what to just sort of tap him on the shoulder. And
I sort of ask for permission before the game. If I see something, do you mind if I speak up? And he's, you know, go for it. And then the first time I did say something, I was a little bit nervous, but took it on board and away we went.
With the one of the big topics at the moment that's coming back into play is around tagging, Pendles. Just break your career up. I suspect, you know, in that 21 to 25 or 26, I'd imagine you would have got tagged 90% of the time. What would that percentage be now over the last 3 to 4 years now with a more 18-man defence and zone type setups?
Yeah, you're probably right. I think, after probably 3 years in the caper, you start getting tagged, you know, probably three times a month. So, and then that's a whole different learning experience. And then now it depends who you play. So, if we were to play a Sydney, for example, you know, that's just one-on-one anyway. That's how they play.
Yeah,
so you're not actually getting tagged.
No, that's right.
In a head-to-head matchup. Whereas, you know, if we play Geelong next week, For example, you know that a Scotty Salwood's likely, if he comes to you, that's a hard, you know, one-way shutdown role. So a lot depends on how teams play and, you know, value their team defense. Do they value taggers at all? If you played the Bulldogs, you know, you're not going to get sat on. So, you know, and in saying that too, you've still got a match up. You know, there's always, you never have an out number on the field.
Sorry, Jay-Z, on that, explain to perhaps listeners that have seen Collingwood, Levi Greenwood did a fantastic job on Joel Selwood. I think the next week it was Carlton, there was no tag. But explain the machinations of that, where it's not always as simple as, well, we're going to put him on because you might have to take yourself out of the midfield, Taylor Adams. So explain the logic behind that, why some weeks Levi will tag and some weeks he won't tag.
Yeah, some weeks, obviously, Levi, last week he had Andrew Gaff. So it's a role that you think you can take a player out of their side. You know, Selwood, for example, we don't think we have a great matchup for him in our current midfield. So Levi comes in and does that job. The week after against Carlton, we think that our midfield, you know, matches up really well and we can cover them, their offense, and get on top of them, you know, sort of Carlton's defensive running or whatever it might be. So, but then there's certain players that, you know, that if you cut them out, that it goes a long way to your side winning today. So, you know, for example, today, you know, is Levi, you know, does he just go straight to Rory Sloane or to Laird? Because they're the two most crucial guys in their wins.
There's a couple of reviews going on to the footy department and the whole club, in fact, at the moment. Scott, have you had your interview yet? You've been a strong supporter of Bucks. Have you given that feedback to Peter Murphy?
I haven't had my interview yet. I know it's taken place around the place, and everyone's had their say, whether it be by surveys or whatever it is. But the football players, our team, have been left to their own devices, and it's something that we'll talk about and have chats with whoever it might be at the end of the season, because we don't want players midweek having to sit through reviews about, you know, all types of things. They just want us to focus on footy. And for us, there's five games left, and we want to, you know, make sure that we're fully focused on these five games.
All right, you've dealt with the hard questions. Now I'm taking you to the footy record. I want quick answers. You ready, Scotty?
Beautiful.
Before a game, I always
put my boots on.
Wow. This could be a stunning segment, this one. The player from another club you'd most like to watch?
Big Boy McAvoy.
Ooh, what do you like to do on your days off?
Drink coffee.
Which singer band would you like to see play at this year's AFL Grand Final?
No idea. Killers. Doesn't interest me.
Who is the king of selfies at your club?
Brody Grundy.
If you won the lottery tomorrow, what's the first thing you're going to buy?
No idea.
Childhood hero?
Michael Jordan.
What is your worst trait?
I pick my fingernails.
Ooh, least preferred household chore?
No, changing nappies, does that count?
Favourite professional sporting team, not Collingwood?
Lakers.
Sporting hero?
Conor McGregor.
Favourite food?
Sushi.
Favourite movie?
Shooter.
Favourite TV show?
Game of Thrones.
How would you rate the Sunday Rub compared to every other medium you've ever appeared on in media, full stop?
Brilliant.
There you go, Scotty.
Hey, I want to ask Scotty another question. I don't mean...
It does have to go to a team meeting,
yeah,
so...
I don't mean to embarrass you, but... Oh. Watching you play footy, I've never seen a player like you. Explain to us a little bit. Probably hard to explain, but it looks like to us watching you play that the game...
The Matrix.
...and the players around you, it is. You glide through there. I know you had a basketball background, but when you're in a situation like that, what are you thinking? It's like, seriously, it's just like you walk through congestion like no other player.
Yeah, I think it does go back a long way to basketball, because when you're a point guard, you can't get tackled in basketball. So I'm used to sort of being around somebody trying to defend me. So, you know, in basketball, if you're dribbling around the key, where there might be nine guys around you and you've got to have full control, full vision of what's around you for a little pass, or it might be a little quick shot or something like that. So, and then when I started playing footy, first few years, did a lot of work with Alan Richardson about, you know, selling the cue. So often, you know, when I get the ball, I'll act like I'm about to handball, so the pressure goes to where they think I'm about to get rid of it, and I'll sum up the situation. And sometimes I get lucky and get through, and sometimes I get nailed and look like a fool.
So it's always that posture, like, I could give this ball now, so the player's around, and then it's just a matter of navigating through.
Yeah, whether that's, you know, a kicking motion or a handball motion just moving the footy.
Yeah.
And I know players don't supposed to, but everyone does. They watch the footy, they forget about watching your hips. So you try and take those guys out of the equation by showing them something they're not expecting.
You're a Lakers fan. Have you got the big ball of shoes yet or not?
No, not yet.
$450, they'd be well within your budget.
$450 US. So
that's what you get on the Sunday Rub. You get insight. What do you always do before a game? Put my boots on. That is why we lead the field, Jay-Z. Scotty, great to have you in. You've got to get to a meeting. Hopefully we see you playing again this season.
Thanks, boys. I've enjoyed myself.
It's great to have Scotty Pendlebury in. The thing I love about the Sunday Rub, Roosie, it's always a really tight team. 51 minutes in the ad break, Duck goes with, are we missing someone today? Is someone not here? And then realises 52 minutes in that Schwatter's not here.
His old teammate.
Your old teammate?
You guys are tight.
No, he's just very forgettable.
He'll be listening in. Also listening in to the boundary, this man not forgettable, nor the man he's with. Mickey Roberts joins us for the first time this afternoon. This man's unforgettable, really. Hello, Robbo.
Hello, Howie. How are you? And I've got the coach of Adelaide, Don Pike, with me. And you said, Howie, that the game's only an hour and a half away. Don's virtually just got off a bus and stuck the can straight on Triple M. So has that put you out of whack? Because you are a bit late because of the marathon going, storms playing across the road. And, to whack the cans on has just put you a little out of timing.
Yeah, a little bit. We're a little bit delayed, but, it was a long trip down Punt Road. But we got here eventually, and guys will go about their prep now and we'll get ready to go.
You look at your main forward line in Walker and Betts and Jenkins, and only two goals between them. So there wasn't real scoreboard impact last week. You're going to have to do it without Eddie again with that appendix.
Yeah, well, we miss Eddie this week. And as you said last week, those guys, they had an impact on the game, even though they didn't have an impact on the scoreboard. And, last week it was, Douglas kicked four and Sloan kicked three, and we've got a couple more through our midfield. So, we've always sort of wanted to be a side that is, not relying on an individual to win us games. And last week was a good example. I thought the guys you mentioned still had a real influence on the game, even though they didn't hit the scoreboard.
Hey, Pikey, it's going to be an interesting battle in the middle of the ground. Obviously, Crouch out, Sloaney back into some really good form, but you can expect Greenwood to go straight to him today. So I notice you've brought Seedsman in, hasn't been in for a while, I don't believe, but it's going to be a little bit of a different look, and given that Sloaney will probably have it a little bit tougher than what he did last week, are you going to roll a lot more players through the middle today?
Yeah, well, that's something we've worked on all year. We wanted to try and build our flexibility through the midfield area. And with Brad out today, we bring in Seeds for his first game of the year. It just coincidentally happens to be against his old club. So, and he probably plays more of a wing half forward role for us than a genuine insider. But probably got guys like Richie Douglas. We had a bit of Riley Knight through there last week as well, which gives us enough coverage for Brad, as good as a player he is. It's never easy to replace good players, but Wayne Miller comes back in as well. He's played a bit of time on the wing. So we sort of think we've added a bit to the midfield side of it, probably more from an outside viewpoint. We've got some other guys who can go inside today as well.
Tell us a bit about Richie Douglas, Pikey. Love him as a player. One of those guys that just seems week in, week out, turns up to play. Underrated, just a fantastic player. How important is he to your side, both in the ability to go through your midfield, but also, like last week, spend a bit more time forward and kick your goals?
Yeah, well, he's sort of done a bit of work down back as well. So he provides us with that real flex through half forward and half back. And as you say, he's sort of underrated, but he's been around for a while. He's won a club champion award at Adelaide. And I remember I was at the club when he arrived, and he was about 65 kilos wringing wet, and he's really built his physique. And he's a good ball user. He's a smart player. He's an easy player to coach in that respect. So, he's been a real positive for us this year, because I think his form last year was okay, but this year I think he's gone to another level, which has been great.
Hey, I noticed, Lever out again today. Little birdie tells me that his hamstring's actually okay. Certainly could have played, but the fact that you want to give Keith and that a little bit more exposure, certainly then leading into the final. So if something does happen, you know that these guys have had a little bit of senior footy. So if you do get an injury or two, you've got guys that can come in and back up straight away.
Yeah, well, look, I don't know who little birdie you're talking to, but Jake wasn't quite right this week. His hamstring sort of has responded really well, but he was probably a run and a full training short of being really available for selection. And given his history, we took a pretty conservative view to make sure we get a 4 weeks training in him before we bring him back in. So I think that's just sort of smart management. And as you say, with Alex, he came in last week and acquitted himself really well. So another opportunity for him on a nice big stage here at the G. So, he's a young guy that we think's got some real potential to play that role down back for us as well.
Well, speaking to Adelaide coach Don Pike on the Sunday Rub. Coach, we're just talking about Alex Keith. I know there was a bit made of it, but I'm not sure there was enough made of it. In the modern sporting environment in which we live, this man playing professional cricket, now playing professional football, it's a really, really great story.
Yeah, look, it is. It's one of those ones. And look, he probably had the choice to make. Like, I think young Will Sutherland sort of had the choice to make. And he chose cricket in the early days, Alex. And but he was probably, when he made the decision, he was probably a bit similar. He was earmarked to be a top 10 or a top 20 pick. So he had football talent, but he decided to go the way of cricket. But, you know, I met him early last year when he came in, and he was sort of striding stuff for the Strikers in Adelaide. And when it got floated about the prospect of him playing footy, he's been fantastic. He's really, you know, he's done a lot of work. He's had a few injuries, but that's probably been a little bit of just him reacclimatising to playing footy versus, you know, 7 years in cricket. So, but he's a competitive animal, as you saw last week, and he's got some good speed for his size. So, yeah, we're excited about what he can bring.
The other one's Hugh Greenwood, Pikey, and a lot of people don't realise how good a player he was at under 16 level. I think he was projected as a top 10 draft pick. So when he finally arrived at your footy club, how quickly did you see that talent, you know, from a training point of view?
Oh, look, you could see, I mean, probably it stood out initially around sort of things like the handball games where, you know, he'd come off a basketball background, and his, as you can see in the way he plays, his you know, his ability to either knock balls down to tackle people or to win ground balls around the stoppage was something which probably comes out of how he reads the cues from a basketball background. His biggest challenge was basically making the transition from a basketball court into a, you know, 180-metre football ground, to be honest. And when I first laid eyes on him, I thought, this is going to get interesting because I'm not sure where he's going to play, knowing he had the talent. But, you know, and the work he's done in terms of building his running profile has been fantastic. And I mean, if you saw a photo of him 2 years ago, when he first lobbed at the footy club, to now, his body shape's changed significantly. He's trained accordingly, and you know, he's reaping the benefit of that, which is great for him and great for us as a side.
Pikey, two of the other very good young players, Jake Lever and Mitch McGovern, out of contract, a lot of clubs circling. Do you think we're mature enough as a game? And what's your footy club's view? Just say it comes to finals or whatever, and they give the indication that they are going to go back home. Would you still play them? Would you have any issue playing them if you sort of knew that they were going to leave?
Oh, I think you'd assess it on the merits of each situation, to be honest. And, you know, I think it, you know, I'm not sure we've got to that point yet where players, like in rugby league, where they're sort of announcing almost in March, they're saying, oh, I'm leaving next year. That probably makes it more awkward, I would have thought.
But you guys are such in the window, aren't you? So sort of back in their professionalism.
And again, it's their commitment to their craft. I mean, they've spent a lot of time, a lot of energy around, you know, getting into a position where they want to, you know, play finals footy and obviously have an impact in that. So you'd be disappointed from a professional viewpoint if they'd moved into a different headspace.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Crows today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Don Pike, the coach of the Adelaide Crews. Hey, Roosy, just something I wanted to bring up to you.
Yes.
Unannounced. Last week we had a bit of a discussion about Dave Matthews, and he gave you a bit of a whack about your comments on GWS, and you replied, serve. Kevin Sheedy during the week, I'm not sure if you noticed this, I know Jay-Z did, commented on what actually occurred and what was said. He was quite strong in some of his words. I'll just read a few to you. This is from Kevin Sheedy. Paul Roos is the person who won one premiership by a kick in his whole career, Sheedy told AAP. He must have a lot of knowledge. Put that in your story. He went on to say, I would have plastered that all over the GWS room. So, Roosie, I know you're not a bad-looking colt. I call you Sundance, but you only had 2 hours of happiness, the 2005 flag, in your whole football career. Now, before you respond to that, I've done two-man style a few calculations. You coached and played in a total of 624 games, which equates roughly to 1,248 hours. So Sheed is saying of those 1,248, you enjoyed two of them, which, congratulations to you, is 0.16% of your entire football career. Well done.
Until I read the article, I didn't realise how miserable I was during my my 30 years in football. So thanks for reminding me, Sheed. I actually thought I had a reasonable time and had some... got some good times, made some good friends, but...
What's with the Sundance?
Well, I don't know. Sheeds is a great entertainer, been a great ambassador for the game, both for Essendon, you know, Giants, and the game itself. And I think he's currently employed by Essendon, to be honest. So I'm not sure why he's commenting on the Giants. But, look, he's obviously got an investment in them because he was the first coach and things like that. But, look, Sheeds is fantastic. He's a great ambassador, and I think sometimes he says things because they pop into his head, and he likes saying things, and sometimes, you know, he means them, sometimes he doesn't.
For the record, Howie, like Roosie said, GWS may be a bit over-reliant on their talent at the moment and not on their system. They've won two games since round 11, were pretty awful again yesterday until they lifted in the last quarter. It's not exactly like Roosie's said anything that should be really offensive to the Giants. Are they being a bit precious about this or not?
It's not like the only one that said it.
Everyone said it. Exactly. So I think it must be a personal thing with...
It is strange. I've had a lot of text messages from Dave Matthews' comment and from Sheeds' comment. you know, and I basically text back, looks, it doesn't worry me. But yeah, I think it's strange. It's a little bit immature. I think I said that last week. But Sheeds is different. I mean, Sheeds is an entertainer. Yeah. Sheeds is an ambassador. So I think they're vastly different comments between Dave Matthews and Kevin Sheedy.
Do you enjoy more than 0.16% of your time on the Sunday Wrap?
Well, I'll tell you what I've done the last week. I've gone back over every single one of those games.
Right.
And I've tried to work out whether I enjoyed them or not. So
and are you above 0.16?
Well, I'll get back to you. You've got me at 0.16. I think I'm currently at 0.32.
So things are on the
I found another game that I really enjoyed. So I'll get back to you next week.
Great to have Scott Pendlebury on earlier on. He just speaks so well. And I was really interested when you were talking to him, Jay-Z, that he wants to become a senior AFL coach.
Yeah, I've got absolutely no doubt that he will achieve that goal as well. Some players these days aren't footy nerds and aren't into it. He watches everything. Mm. He knows everything about every player. You ask him about the strengths, weaknesses, stoppages. He loves that. He eats that up. So I've got absolutely no doubt he'll be a senior coach. He's doing some stuff over the next couple of weeks in the Collingwood coach's box. The question is, does he need to... Should he leave Collingwood to be an assistant somewhere? Ruse, have you got any? Should he get out? Because Buck's obviously stayed there.
I think we're probably now more leaning towards that educational process, a longer apprenticeship, without going into specifics, because every person is different. But if you were to say what's the ideal model, it probably is to go away from your club, maybe a couple of clubs before you go back, coach your own team, et cetera, et cetera. I know Mark Brayshaw is really big on. Yep. This and Clarko's strong on education, level 4, all those sorts of things. So we haven't really got it right. We haven't really got the apprenticeship right. But my advice to any players, depending on, again, the player, is perhaps, get outside your footy club and build up. Because let's be honest, Scotty Pendlebury will be a senior coach. If he wants to be, he will be a senior coach because he has the profile. He's a premiership captain, has the pedigree, so he just needs to almost plot his course and make sure when he does get the opportunity that he's got plenty of experience behind him.
Is that the way it should work, Ruzy, that because he's got the profile and he's a captain and he's a player, that you're saying he will definitely be a coach?
I'm saying if he does it right, given what he represents now, if he does all the right, so he doesn't have to panic, he doesn't have to take an opportunity that Matt, perhaps a lower profile coach does, that sort of says, oh, if I don't take this job with whatever club it is, I'm not going to get it. Scotty, because people will look at him in 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, and will look at his body of work as an assistant coach and then put it on top of his playing and say, so he, that's what I mean. I don't mean he's going to be handed a job straight away. What I'm saying is he given who he is, if he has a really good apprenticeship, he will be given the opportunity, no question.
Tough day for the Demons. Yesterday I was listening to the Saturday Rub and there was all sorts of discussion about whether Hogan had done his shoulder, and then our man Robbo said, no, I reckon it's a collarbone. As it turns out, it is a collarbone.
Yeah, and it might finish his season, Howie, to be honest. Melbourne, hopeful that's not the case. They're saying 3 to 6 weeks at the moment, but it has the potential to finish his season. He's an important spearhead for them, obviously. Disappointing news because he's obviously missed so much footy with a testicular surgery, obviously earlier in the year. But Simon Goodwin, coach of Melbourne, hopeful it wouldn't finish him for the year.
Yeah, so Jesse's broken his collarbone, so he'll fly back tonight and have some surgery tomorrow. So that's disappointing for Jesse. We'd be guided by our doctors and the surgeon, so we'll wait and get all the information. But, you know, I wouldn't be saying it's season-ending, that's for sure.
Ruzy, do you know what this year has been great for me from a Melbourne perspective, and Duck as well? Melbourne have been able to win without Jesse. I reckon there's been a huge focus on him, huge reliance of him on him over the last 18 months. You know, Melbourne desperately need this guy. Just say he goes home to Perth in a couple of years. I think there's a suspicion that at some point in his career he might go back. It's not a devastating moment for Melbourne. I mean, I think they can win without this guy.
Yeah, look, I think externally, I think when you're trying to build good footy clubs, the two greatest examples are Hawthorn and Buddy Franklin and Geelong and Gary Ablett Jr.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter. So without pinpointing Jesse or whoever it is, it doesn't actually matter based on those two. I mean, they're two of the top five players in the last however many years.
Yeah.
And they've both left their footy clubs.
And their teams won premierships
one premiership.
Year after they left.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think it really matters who that player is. If you're building up, And then if a player like Jesse, I expect the only way he's going to leave is if it's a family thing. It's not going to be about the culture of the footy club or the coach or whatever. So, look, I'm confident, not that I know any more than what I knew last year, I'm confident Jesse will stay. But I think good football clubs build themselves around good people. If you do leave, it's a culture. It's one man down, one man in. And I think Melbourne have showed that this year with the way they've been able to play without a lot of very, very good players this year.
I don't know. Why are we talking Jesse Hogan leaving? He's just re-signed a contract this year.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He's just re-signed.
What does contracts mean? They mean anything.
Oh, boy.
I'm just saying, I think the club is bigger than him now. Possibly in the past, we sort of thought that he was sort of the savior of this football club or whatever. Anyway, moving on.
Hang on. Our man Duck is becoming more BT every week. Every time I wear, it's a lot of old boys in what Duck rolls out these days. Old boy.
He's infectious is the word I was looking for.
Infectious, even.
Another blow to the Cats last night. We've spoken about danger, obviously, but Nakia Cockatoo adds important speed.
Yes. Sorry, JZ. We know you're trying to deliver some serious news. When Duck thinks something's funny, the whole box has to first acknowledge it's funny. We have to laugh, then we can move on. All right, JZ.
Okay. Nakia Cockatoo, important for the Cats. He's done his hamstring again, so he's already missed 6 matches. With this, him and Parfitt and Motlop are crucial to the Cats setup. So he faces a stint on the sidelines to get ready again for finals. And Steve Motlop, he's the guy whose future is really under the microscope. Now, I'm told that Motlop will that Port Adelaide are looking very hard at Steve Motlop. Obviously, the connection there with Ken Hinckley. I don't expect Steve Motlop to be at the footy club, Geelong Footy Club, next season, Howie.
Gee, no Motlop at the Cats next year.
Yeah, I think he's...
out of contract, is he?
Yeah, he's a free agent. Yeah, free agent. So they might get
bomb music before you roll that one.
A second round pick. It creates a bit of cap space. Obviously, another pick to help with the Ablett situation. He's had 2 disappointing seasons, a really poor finals performance last year. And I think for his benefit, he'd be looking for a fresh start next year.
He's the type of player, Roosie and Duck, that you look at and you'd think as another club, gee, if we could make him consistent, he's a star.
Well, would
if
you,
he's
boys?
Consistent.
What do you think?
Oh, look, he's a fascinating player, Duck, isn't he? He's so hot and cold. When he's hot, you sort of think, gee, this guy's an absolute star. But he's
so do you look at a player like that as a coach and think, I can make him hot more often?
I think you do more background checks on those sort of guys, like in terms of the connections, who you know there. You know, it's often hard to get information at a footy club that may want to trade him or whatever. But you do a little bit more, you know, information. I mean, it's not like he hasn't had opportunity. I mean, sometimes, like if you look at the players from... You know, from my point of view, Sydney, Melbourne, they're the Teddy Richards, Marty Matner, you know, Reece, guys that are sort of on the edge that haven't been. He's been given us enormous opportunity at Geelong. They're often a lot harder to assess, Duck, as to where they slot into your footy team.
Well, I think he's proven that his best is runner-up in the best and fairest 3 years ago.
Yep, 2015.
So runner-up, best and fairest at that footy club. And you're talking about the Joel Selwoods of the world and other players. So that tells you what level he can reach.
Yep.
He just hasn't reached that for the last couple of years. So he might need a fresh start for himself.
He's on decent money, about 600.
I was just going to say, and then it depends on the money, what you give up for them, et cetera, et cetera. So there's quite a few because, I mean, his best is very, very good. What you'd want to find out is it injury? Has he been carrying something? Because, as Duck mentioned, he's played some incredible football, but his last 2 years have been somewhat disappointing.
600, decent. I'd like to be on your wicket if you're looking at 600 only calling it decent, Skipper. I don't know what they're paying down there at the paper.
Well,
gee.
Well, now because of the CBA, extra 20%, 600 isn't sort of the old 600.
Still talk of an ab off between Jay-Z and Wayne Carey. It could be next week, both in heavy training. Duck, now Roosie's starting to play mental games, bringing in some hot chips and putting them in front of Jay-Z, and they're just starting to waft up his nose, and he's losing a little bit of
the discipline
concentration.
Is strong.
Hey, if you can knock back those hot chips, hey, the smell is very intoxicating.
Ooh, they're just wafting straight from McDonald's. Duck's not going anywhere near them, a man that doesn't eat chips but just racks up possessions, and I don't know what the link is there, but anyway, he's on the line. Scott Selwood joins us from the Victorious Cats now. Help us out, Scotty. How are you going?
G'day, boys. How are we doing?
Hey, well done last night. 65-point win. There was an injury, which we'll get to in a moment, but a pretty comprehensive win by the footy club. Well done to you and the boys.
Yeah, we did well. Yeah, I thought we bounced back pretty well after Adelaide. We were disappointed about how we played, and we learned a few things, and hopefully we can take that going forward as well and keep improving.
Scooter, tell us about the big Tomahawk. His form had been up and down this season, certainly in the past couple of months. But last night he was inspired, 27 possessions, kicked the six snags, of course. From your viewpoint, what did he do differently? Or what did you see in Tom Hawkins last night?
Oh, he's been working really hard. His GPS figures have been really high, and it's probably the way we're moving the ball for him. And we weren't really helping him out in that factor. So I think the way we moved the ball actually helped him get a part of the game a lot more, and our other forwards too. And our other forwards really looked really dangerous, and I think that's why we were able to put up a good score. And I think we just need to continue trying to move the ball really well and give him an opportunity that way.
Is it because, you know, he's got the youngster now, he's out on the farm. Do you think maybe he just sort of thought more about becoming a farmer and footy becoming a lesser priority, or have you had some fun with him along those lines?
We've actually, I live with a couple of the other boys at it, and we decided to get a few chooks and we didn't really like them anymore. So we shipped them out of Hawks Farm. They lasted 1 week before the Foxes got them all, and didn't end up having any chooks anymore. So he's chookless anyway, so he's only got the cows to worry about at the moment. So hopefully that's not too bad.
Scott, he had your brother on the other week, and we asked him one of the things that he felt you guys needed to do. You know, the back end of the season, obviously your goal is, I suspect, to win a premiership. He talked about defence, probably leaking too many easy goals. I didn't see the game last night. I was watching the other game. How have you seen that the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's ever-evolving. Teams are trying to change each week, and we're trying to develop a sort of structure that can really be really hard to play against. And I think it's always evolving. So I think that's the thing. We need to make sure we bring it each week. And a lot of it's about intent, and the other thing is just about making sure we do put the words into actions, and I think last night we were able to do that pretty well.
You did a good job on Bryce Gibbs last night. How much do you enjoy the tagging sort of role, or as a defensive midfielder role, a Scooter? Is that you feel like it's your best position?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think I got a little bit lazy in the last quarter, and we sort of tried some new guys in the middle too, but I do feel like that's my role in the team, and when we sort of say we need to support Joel and Paddy, that's the way I try and support it. And Sandman and Goal looks different in how he tries to support it, but we know the role that we need to play, and that's definitely mine. And I think I do enjoy it. It can be very taxing, but at the same time, you have to come up against the best player each week and get to learn new things, and it's just a massive challenge, which is really rewarding if you can get the job done.
Hey, just one of the guys that's grabbed his opportunity this year is young Busey. You know, obviously struggled over the last couple of years to really cement his spot in the team, but I reckon he's had a really good year.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he was trying to push out Corey Enright in that position, and it was really a really sort of tough thing to do with the experience that we had back there. And now that he's actually got a look and he's able to play four or five games and string some games together, now he's starting to put together full seasons for us. And he looks confident with the ball. He's taking the game on, but he's really shutting down his defender. I think last week he kept Eddie Betts to, you know, minimal possessions and zero goals and zero behind. So he's doing a really good job, and it's just about being consistent with him now.
Scooter, I'm sure you've seen the Dangerfield tackle on Cruiser. You've analysed it, scrutinised it. What is your view on the great man? And are you clear, in fact, what players can and can't do in terms of tackling and players' head-high contact?
Yeah, I won't comment on the Dangerfield stuff. Obviously, there's a lot to go on there, but we're really clear with how it needs to be done and how it needs to happen, the tackle and things like that. And we think we try and do it within the rules, and that's how we're taught. And we hope that's how it's adjudicated.
Scotty, we appreciate your time at this stage. The Cats looking for a top four position. Hope that you can do that and move into finals. Thanks for having a chat with us on the Sunday Rub.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Scotty Selwood from the Geelong Football Club. All right, boys, Jay-Z.
Of all the draft interviews I've done, Howie, probably 10 years of draft interviews, Scott Selwood gave me the most polite, well-mannered interview when he was just a 17-year-old out of hundreds.
Did he really?
Yep.
Seems like a lovely cat as well. He might be good in the back-to-school quiz, and that is what is coming up now.
The Sunday Rubs.
Oh, back to school.
Back to school quiz.
Roosie always under a lot of pressure at home to perform in the back-to-school quiz. Jay-Z's on 5, Swatter's 4, but not here. You don't turn up, you can't win. Duck 4, Roosie 4. So very tight it is.
It's tight, though.
Test the buzzers, please, Jay-Z.
JJ.
Duck. Roos.
Righto, here we go. Now, I must say, I went into Triple M on Friday, and any time after 2 o'clock in there, gets a bit loose, Roosie. They open the bar. Not many people pay too much attention to work. And our great producer, Michael James, I saw him writing the quiz at 4:45.
Wow.
And now I've seen some of the questions. I realise he could have been six cans in when he actually put pen to paper here. So, anyway, good luck with this. Maths, nearest the pin, you all get a crack. How many games has Eddie Betts played?
Duck.
Okay.
210.
Roosie?
220.
220. Jay-Z?
That's exactly what I was thinking. 205.
205. He's amazingly played 270. So Roosie gets a point.
270?
270 for Eddie Bauer. As I said, MJ had had six cans, so we just need to check that it is correct. But Nate Brown's just rolled in. We're going to put him straight into the quiz because he's a star at the quiz. He's going to go 1 point down. Hello to you, Brownie, straight from the Sunday Footy Show.
Yeah, and I want to...
Extraordinary traffic out there today.
Yes. And I just want to ask a question. Oh. Is it true that when you come in here for the the Sunday rub...
After the Sunday Footy Show.
After the Sunday Footy Show.
Yes.
Is it true that you have a shower after the show?
No, I don't have a shower after the show. Because straight after the Sunday Footy Show, there's a show called Future Stars, which is a lot better than the Sunday Footy Show, which I host, and that's what I do for the next hour.
Yeah, okay, so you don't have a shower?
No.
What about after Future Stars?
I was going to say, why would you have a shower after just doing a little bit of TV?
Well, I have a shower before the Sunday Footy Show at Channel 9.
So what time does the Sunday...
Stars?
Yeah, what time does that finish?
It finishes at 1:30.
1:30, so it took you 59 minutes to get here from Richmond.
Well, it's extraordinary traffic out there, and the Adelaide Crows have just got here on the bus, so they're late themselves.
All right. You look and smell nice, though, so that's good. Now, you've had your shower. You're ready to go. Now, you're 1 point down. All right. How many games would you have said Eddie Betts had played in his career?
How many games?
Yeah, I'm just putting you on... You can't win this one, but this was late notice. 223. You would have taken a point because Rizzi went 220. It was 270, but you don't get that point because you were late. All right, history. Which three... test your buzzer, please.
Brown.
Okay, good. Which three players lead Adelaide's all-time goal kicking?
Brown.
Oh, Brown just.
Yep. Tony Modra.
Yes.
Tex Walker.
Yes. Third one, a bit of a tricky one.
And Scott Hodges.
No, but
okay,
good.
Both of those.
Yes.
And Rod Jemison.
No. Jay-Z or Roosie? Three, two,
go with Eddie Betts.
No, Darren Jarman.
They're both incorrect. Jay-Z, you can have one final chance here.
Take them out of it.
This bloke sometimes otherwise known as Duck's Little Bird.
Oh, Mark Rusciuto.
There you go. One for Jay-Z.
Oh, wow.
Really? Rupert.
There you go. On 292. Geography. Which racetrack is closest to the Adelaide CBD?
Brown.
Duck just.
Is Morfordville?
Yes. Yeah. One for Duck, one for Jay-Z, one for Roosie. Guess the player. This is Collingwood versus Adelaide 2011.
Has Dale Thomas. Brown. Oh, boy! Unbelievable jack in the box.
Duck.
Brown was first.
Jack McCarthy.
No. Ruse is next.
I didn't actually say anything, sorry.
Relax, Duck. Don't get that aggressive look on your face.
I didn't actually buzzer.
Well, I did hear Jack in the box.
Yes.
So I'm going to guess Elliot.
That is incorrect because we're 2011.
Jack.
Last chance, chance.
JJ.
Jack McCarthy.
Jay-Z.
John McCarthy.
No, play the audio, please. This is who it was.
Oh,
big grab.
Mark of the year.
Yep.
Mark of the year.
Andy Cracker.
Now, player question. Now, you remember I said that our man MJ might have had a couple of frosty ones when he wrote this quiz? This is the question that alerted me to that fact. Player, here we go. What do Brad Dick, now he must have, what do Brad Dick and Mason Cox have in common? I told you he'd had a couple of beers when he wrote this one.
Talking about the surname?
Well, this is
Ruse.
Ruse.
Same amount of games.
No.
Brown.
Duck. Sort of rude names.
No, but yes, but no.
Brown.
Yes.
They go up very straight for the mark.
No.
Is this a serious question?
This is.
Or...
I told you. MJ might have got a little bit loose at this stage. You won't get it. They both made three tackles in their debut game.
Wow.
Thanks,
I didn't write the questions. Do you think Tony Barber wrote the questions?
Oh,
no,
boy.
He just reads them. Jay-Z won, Duck won, Roosie won, Brownie yet to score. During the week, who said this?
We're up for the fight. But the criticism is justified.
Duck.
That's Pikey, isn't it?
Probably. No, it's
Ruse.
Not.
Roosie. Adam Simpson?
It is. Adam Simpson. Roosie takes a 2-1-1-0 lead. This is where Duck always fancies himself. This was interesting, difficult. I was born on January the 19th, 1988. I played 51 games, kicking 83. I told you been on the Terps. Kicking 83 games is what he's written here. But I played 51 games, kicking 83 goals. I played for both Collingwood.
JJ.
Ducked up.
Easily. That is McAdam.
No.
No.
It's Joel Anthony.
No, it's not Joel Anthony. It is not Joel Anthony.
No, not Joel Anthony.
I kick crucial goal. You're out, ducky boy.
Oh, no.
I kick crucial goals.
Brent Brown.
Yes, Brownie.
Oh, no. Can I have a second crack at this?
Jack McCarthy.
JJ.
It's not, you're out. So Roosie gets
keep going.
Geez, you've gone all round it. Jack McCarthy, Joel McCarthy, John Anthony. I was Collingwood's leading goal kicker in 2009. I am John. Come on, Roosie. We've already mentioned him three times.
John Anthony.
Yes. A late point to Roosie, who wins it 3-1.
Disappointing.
Well, Joel Anthony.
Joel Anthony.
Well done, Roosie. Roosie, you've taken out the quiz a couple of weeks in a row. Your phone has lit up.
Yeah, look, it's amazing, isn't it? I very rarely get a text message from the family. This is how much pressure I'm under. So I've got one from the wife, 2 weeks in a row, quiz winner. And then I've got one from a son. So back to back. This is how much pressure's on me, guys. Mum texted me saying you won the quiz again. About time. Now I can go back to telling people you're my father. That's how much pressure I'm under.
It's not easy. And talking about pressure, it's my favourite part of the show. With a new stinger, it's time for...
Gather round, boys and girls.
Because I'm a bad boy.
It's story time with Rosie.
A bad boy for love.
Roosie singing magnificently last week on the Sunday Rub. We often throw around what story time's going to be. I think you had a chat with Jay-Z this week, and Jay-Z was keen to get into the 2005 Grand Final, where the AFL wasn't particularly positive about the style of football your club was playing, Roosie.
Yeah, Jay-Z's been keen to sort of go into this for a while, so I might rely on you, Jay-Z, to prompt my memory a little bit. But yeah, look, it was early in 2005. From memory, we'd played a couple of ordinary games and then we'd sort of headed to WA to play the Eagles, ironically. And I think it might have been the day before the game and Andrew had come out and was it radio or TV and said, oh, look, there's a team up north that if they keep playing the way they're playing, they won't win too many games. So it was sort of just prior to a really sort of tough game. So I think he sort of picked his mark a little bit and thought, well, they're probably not going to beat West Coast. It's a good chance to sink the boots in sort of thing. So,
do you remember what he actually said, Jay-Z?
He called you ugly duckling.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, there was a bit of ugly.
It was a shot at your game style because you played a tough.
I'm pretty sure something like there's a team that plays up north that if they keep playing like they're playing, won't win many games. So that was sort of as close as I can remember.
How did you feel when you read those or heard those comments as a coach when this AFL CEO is commenting pretty much directly on your role in the footy club?
Yeah, well, as I said, it was in Perth and it was just prior to a game. We must have played a Sunday game or a Saturday night. So your first focus is not to worry too much about it. I think Richard Crollis was pretty upset about it. Mm. But as a coach, you know, you're really trying to prepare your team pretty quickly. So it probably wasn't until the next week that it really started to blow up. And Jay-Z probably blew up a fair bit in Melbourne compared to
it was
to
huge
Sydney.
Down here.
Yeah, it was huge
where
in Melbourne.
Where were you on the ladder at that stage?
Oh, good question. We might have been, I reckon it was around 6 or 7 around that season. So we might have been 2-5, 3-3, or, you know, 6, 7, or 8 or something like that. So,
I think it blew up because they were such surprising comments coming from that position.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was the biggest thing. Generally, if media, because I think there was a few. Mike Sheen, I get on really well with, my old coach Wolsey was a addict. So it was a little bit of noise around and it wasn't that big a deal. But I think when it's the CEO of the AFL, it becomes a massive story. And it did. It became a huge story. Probably more so in Melbourne, and that's why even when I talk about it now, it was interesting. I was on interviewed that following week on the biggest radio station at that time. I think it was Peter Bosley, who I think has since passed away, Bos, and they were the sort of biggest radio. And he actually made it. It was interesting because he said, "Oh, look, Roosie, can you just explain what is ugly footy?" So it really was interesting because, Sydney being very much a rugby league town and we're, you know, very physical side, you know, real one-on-one sort of football team. And as I said, we're just playing not great, but we're quite a physical side. So in Sydney, it wasn't that big a deal. But I remember, you know, friends at the time would ring and leave a message. And I remember one mate left a message, "Oh, mate, just ring and see if everything's okay, just thinking about you." And I generally thought I must have missed something. I generally thought, gee, I haven't missed, you know, a friend had passed, and I was serious, a friend had passed away, or the tone of the voice was quiet. So there's no doubt in Melbourne it was a really, really big story.
So did you come face-to-face, or when did you actually speak to Andrew?
Well, the follow-up to that, I'd actually been asked to talk, the AFL had brought all the staff up to Sydney, for a conference, and I had been asked to talk, and I said to Andrew Ireland and Cole, it was Miles Baron-Hay, I think was the CEO at the time, and Richard, I said, well, I'm not going to talk. What's the point of me talking? And they clearly don't rate what we're doing up here, so I'm not going to talk at the conference. So I pulled out of that. I think that got a bit of airtime at the time. And
you're personally affronted by it? It was a pretty
personal
speech.
I thought it was strange. It was really strange. I mean, coming from the CEO when you're trying to promote your brand and promote what you're trying to do as an organisation, to come out and clip a team that's flying the flag in Sydney and is really the only people up there representing your brand, I thought it was really strange. And I thought the other thing I sort of struck me was how weak the commission was, that they actually didn't come out. Because I think Bill Keldy's on record at the time, or certainly spoken to some people that I know, that said, look, he'd actually confronted Andrew Demetriou about it and said that it wasn't the right thing to do. So I was surprised that the commission, who were there for the benefit of the game, didn't come out and you know, admonish Andrew for his comments and sort of say, look, that's not what we represent, sort of thing. So, look, it was probably a bigger deal, to be honest, people outside the football club than what it was inside the football club. We didn't worry too much about it. Galvanised the players a little bit. So
did it
actually
really?
Worked. Yeah, it did.
So did you use it as a spur?
Not that specifically, but the players are smart. I mean, they read the papers, and you know, there's a lot of stuff around, you know, at the time, and you know, there's a bit of a feeling that, yeah, the umpires had it in for us, and I never, you know, quashed that with the players. I never said, well, that's not true, you know. So, because when you're coaching, if you think there's something that can give you a little bit of an edge, you tend to let it run. You let it breathe, and I could sense the players were angry. And as the season moved on and we started winning games, you know, we spoke more about, you know, the us against them mentality rather than Andrew in particular. So it wasn't that bigger issue, to be honest, with me.
You still used that? You just said you used it, really, as us against them.
Was that bit of a, because it wasn't just that. There was, as I said, Mike Sheehan, there was a few others, and that didn't really, you know, it's just part of the industry, really. I guess the Andrew one was because he was the CEO, and that was quite strange at the time.
Did you break bread with him? Have you?
We spoke later in that season, you know, and as
Testy.
I said, look, not really. I mean, I'm pretty relaxed. It's not really. It's funny, I asked him 2005 when we won the premiership, and we were just about to go on stage, and we actually had five rotating captains. Yep. And I actually asked him down on the thing. I said, look, can we bring all five captains up on stage? I probably shouldn't have asked him. I probably should have just went and done. And he said, oh, look, it's just a bit hard to do it. So there was never anything feisty or, you know.
On that podium, you know, everyone remembered Croft saying, that's what I'm talking about. Your comment will always be associated about that drought-breaking premiership about here it is. Did that just come to you, spur of the moment?
Yeah, it did. It's funny because parts of it you do rehearse. It's interesting. Probably because some of it you rehearse a little bit around if you win and you lose, because you've got to, I think it's one of those moments that stand in time. You say something stupid, you know, you just don't want that to overshadow the win or the loss or disrespect the opposition if they beat you, sort of thing. So Friday night, in your own mind, you do sort of formulate some sort of strategy, but that didn't come to me until, you know, I think the banner that day said, you know, two cities, one team sort of thing. So that really didn't come to me until right at the very moment that, you know, I was about to sort of finish my comments.
The game was fairly open and attacking when you started coaching, and you were probably the first one to, I guess, do the negative defensive style game, a lot of ball ups, a lot of... Do you think that was different to the way you played, or if you learnt that somewhere before? Because it was very, you know, open and attacking.
It's funny because people, the biggest misconception about the way we played is that we flooded. We were the actual opposite to flooding. And you spoke to Pendles before. I had a massive basketball background as well. And in basketball, you can defend a full court press. You can defend as a full court zone, or you can just drop back into, you know, your half court zone. What I brought to Sydney was very much a full court press, that as soon as the opposition got the ball, we weren't going to give them any easy access anywhere on the ground. So probably the most frustrating thing, and that's why I asked Pendles before, the most frustrating thing at the time was just the complete lack of understanding about the way that we played. People thought that we wanted to create stoppages. We didn't want to create stoppages. But if you got the ball, I wanted someone to tackle you. So we would either get a free kick or there'd be a stoppage. So the stoppage was a result of the defensive action. I didn't want a team getting it in the back pocket and running it all the way and us to retreat and then all of a sudden flood, as people said. So we were actually the opposite to flooding. We pushed up. Of course, like every team, once the ball got to a certain part of the ground, then you wanted all your players to push up and all that sort of stuff. But we were actually, so that was probably one of the most frustrating things at the time.
Not understanding it probably won you a premiership too.
Yeah, well, and it did. It helped. There's no doubt about that.
Before we get to Jay-Z's big three, I talked about it before the break. We had Andrew Pridham, a very esteemed and established gentleman, came into the box on Friday night, the chairman of the Sydney Football Club. And we had a bit of a chat beforehand, and Chris Judd brought up the fact to us all that Andrew had been involved in a situation where he'd bought a very expensive piece of Brett Whiteley artwork, over $2 million, and it was in the courts, whether it was a fake painting or a real painting. And we all sort of looked around and said, oh, do we think anyone should ask this question? And my man Brownie, to my left here, puts up his hand and said, yeah, I'll ask him. You're about to hear in the box what I found, Brownie, the most awkward radio I've ever been involved with. I'll get your comments in a minute. But this is Brownie, the art critic, one-on-one with the chairman of the Sydney Swans, Andrew Pridham.
On a lighter note, a very good mate of mine and Dars has went to Madison Square Garden in New York not that long ago, paid $1,000 for some Bruce Springsteen tickets, got to the front of the gate and was turned away, said, sorry, sir, that was a fake. You had a similar issue with a Brett Whiteley painting.
Different scale, Brownie.
Different scale of $1,000, but... And it ended up in court.
Yep.
This is why we struggle taking him out to dinner, Andrew, for these very reasons. We're trying. He's socially awkward.
This is the first and last interview with Andrew Pridham on Triple M.
And he stood there, he sat there and just stared at me as he said, yep.
Just on a lighter note, our man went with at the start. The most awkward radio I've ever been involved with. But the thing I love about you, Nate, you don't even understand or acknowledge awkward as a word.
Well, I didn't think it was awkward. I just thought it was a fun, good question. If you're going to buy a $2.5 million painting, Duck, you might want to check if it's real. And poor old Andrew just lacked a sense of humour the other night.
How did you leave it, Brownie, sort of as he, finished up the interview
I shook hands with him. And,
Frosty?
Look, he wasn't enamoured by me, I don't think.
I think you heard him say on the interview, that's the last time I'll appear on Triple M.
I don't know whether that was jokingly or that was real or not, but I shook his hand hard.
Was that him that said last time?
Yes.
Yeah.
First and last, that was the Sydney chairman after our producer Luke's been working 18 months to get him on.
But surely there must be, in all seriousness, there must be a protocol when you buy a painting, though, is there?
Like, to know whether it's a real
one. To know whether it's real or not.
Yeah, it must be one of those authenticity little things.
I don't think they come on the Brett Whiteley.
Singlet.
I just wanted to get into it and find that out and what happened and how he didn't.
Yeah, we're well, Brandon.
Time for...
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Jay-Z straightened us up.
Brownie, we were talking earlier about Patrick Dangerfield, obviously in the MRP charge and the big decision they've got. Which is quickly, do you think gets a week or not? Danger.
Judging on previous ones, yes, he will because it's the rules, but I don't think he should.
We all agree then. We haven't heard from you, but all four of us think that he's going to get done for that, be very interesting.
Do you agree on my theory? He'll only get off because he's a Brownlow favourite.
Well, that's where it comes into it, doesn't it? And I think it does. I think it does. It makes it a bigger case. And there was the example of the Cam McCarthy one, which is similar, but the Jared Waite one is a lot more similar.
Broadening this issue somewhat, I think the debate now over the next 48 hours is going to be, do we still need the fairest element to the Brownlow? Does it still need to be the best and fairest, fellas? Or do we just give it to the best player every week? Because we've got a small issue like this for Danger where he might cost him a Brownlow, and it has happened in history. Duck, do you think we should drop the fairest element? It would be a big change.
Why change it now?
Roosie?
Well, it is the tradition. I think that's what makes the Brownlow, because it's the tradition and how far back it goes. Look, it's an interesting question. Let's say Danger does get a week, do you want him to miss the Brownlow medal?
No one does, do they?
Because of that incident? Probably not.
No, I think it should be the way it is. It's been keep it as a tradition as it is. I think we've got some great traditions in our game.
I'm just looking at the vision here.
Side by
side. No, I've seen it, but side by side with the Cam McCarthy tackle. So I've got them side by side playing.
Very similar.
Very similar.
Yeah, but the only thing different is Ken McCarthy sees the ball come out and then he rams him into the ground. Where Dangerfield, I think he's still tackling him. He doesn't know that the ball's come out. And it's a perfect tackle in the end, I think. His head just unforced hit the ground. I don't think it should be the outcome as it always is. And I think it takes too long to get to the decision of how many weeks he's got. I think it should be done today and dusted.
I reckon that's the first time I've heard that. I reckon you're right. I reckon get rid of the fairest and just make it the best. If you do something really, really bad, you're going to miss 3-4 weeks. You're probably not going to win the Brownlow. I like it, Jay-Z.
So then do you go back and give Chris Grant a Brownlow medal?
No, because they were the rules at that time.
Corey McKernan.
The most talked about kiss in footy happened on Friday night, boys, with Will Langford planning a smooch on the kiss of Jared McVeigh. You obviously know him well.
Can I stop you for one point? Yes. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. Mickey Roberts just handed me a sheet of paper, obviously a great football history in his family, saying that his father, of course, who won the Brownlow, would give his Brownlow back to the AFL if they took fairest out of the medal. So it is an evocative question.
Strong sense. It's a huge night. It's the second biggest thing on the football calendar. Getting back to Jared McVeigh, he wasn't happy with the kiss, Ferruzzi, when Langford planted one on him. Said, I think it was a Triple M interview after the game, said it was quite disrespectful. Is McVeigh taking that a bit seriously? What did you think of that incident?
I think there was a bit more to it than that. I think there was a number of
kisses.
It was a
smooch fest.
I think it was I think a bit of a lead into it as well.
In the background, I think he got a little bit confused. In the background on the scoreboard, they were, right at that time, there was a kiss cam on. No, I made that up.
What, you saying there was a bit of sledging or a bit of banter, Bruce?
Hang on. Was that a joke?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to ascertain.
And I'm surprised he didn't hit anyone while he told the joke.
Was that a joke, Ruzi, or not?
It wasn't really.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, I'll rephrase that. Was it an attempted joke?
It was a poor joke.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, Jay-Z. I've interrupted you again.
Roll on.
Ruzi, you just alluded to some sort of tension
the game. Yeah, again, I wasn't on the ground at the time, but yeah. I think just watching the leading to it, and hearing some things coming out of Sydney, there's a bit more to it than perhaps, you know.
Brownie, what do you think? A bit sensitive or?
Well, I was going to ask him after the game. We were talking to him and I was going to have a joke about it with him, and then he brought it up with Nerrily and said it was disrespectful. So we had to change our line of questioning. A little bit of an overreaction, but you, as Ruzi said, you don't know what happened leading up to that. It seemed like something that after a game you just forget about.
On a more serious note, one of the issues which is going to dominate the news agenda over the next week is the fate of the assistant coaches right across the league. So they need to be told, I think, by Tuesday, August the 1st, whether they'll be guaranteed a contract.
I don't think that's an actual rule.
It is an actual, yeah.
I don't think
it's an understanding with the AFL Coaches Association.
It's not an actually black and white rule. They don't have to.
I think they do, Doug.
No, it's not a black and white rule.
I think they have to give them an indication.
We need clarification.
I've been told it's not black and white.
Well, certainly the AFLCA and Mark Brayshaw, the chief executive, have
an understanding that that's what should happen. But yep. Like I said, it's not a written rule.
This is what happens. The assistant coaches ask the club, say, am I going to be here next year? And if they either say yes and they can stop sweating, if they say, oh, I'm not sure, that's basically telling them that they need to assess their options. How do you go with that, Ruzi? Like, you're part of the decision-making process.
Yep.
You have to sort of essentially tiptoe your assistants in a
way.
Yeah,
look, I've been in a fortunate position that I haven't had to do it, you know, because I've had, you know, great support and we've had a lot of consistency around when I was at Sydney and when I'm bringing guys in at Melbourne. And then obviously the succession plan. So I really didn't have any say in the last year sort of thing. So I think it's a combination of what the two of you are saying. I think what they're trying to do is at least give the guy an indication, we can't tell you.
Yep.
And then as I know it, the agreement is then that person can then go and seek other employment.
Yep. Yep.
So not to say that he's not going to have a job, but it gives them an opportunity to then go and source out with the club understanding that. So that's really what it is, because I don't think it's a hard and fast black and white, because you can't put it into sort of legislation. But the coaches just need to know, can I go and seek some other employment?
Or am I locked in? And I say this because at Collingwood, it's particularly interesting because they've got a guys who have been at the club for a long time, Scotty Burns, Robert Harvey in particular, who are most likely to be told that the club can't guarantee their future. Obviously, with Nathan Buckley's up in the air at the moment, I think there will be big changes at Collingwood next season.
be interesting if that went across the board at football, as in we got told on the 1st of August at Triple M whether we were back for the Sunday rub next year, Brownie, or maybe we'd be shipped off to the AM dial or
community
radio. I think ratings
have been going pretty well.
No, they have been. They have been.
Well, I have been over to the AM dial. Don't forget that.
And how was that experience for you?
People thought I went on holidays for 3 years. They didn't hear from me.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.